Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Why don't we just take a second and just pray? I'm 42 years old and I'm past the point of living a life that doesn't need God. I'm past the point of preaching a message that doesn't need God to come through for it to work. And so let's just pray that the Holy Spirit would come. He's already here. Some of you can feel him tangibly right now. God, I thank you for tonight. I thank you, God, that you haven't called us to be normal. You've called us to be extraordinary. You've called us to stand out. You've called us to be separated to you, not from the world, but to you. So Holy Spirit, I pray that tonight that you would do something miraculous, that you would do something phenomenal, something that we can't do by ourselves. We came tonight to see you move powerfully. Father, I'm praying for breakthrough in every area that is represented here. There are needs in this house, and there's faith in this house. So, Father, I pray that the great power of God would fall on every person tonight, that every person in this room would experience you in a tangible way, that every person watching online would experience you in a tangible way, that you would visit them, even online, even all the way to New Zealand. Father, we welcome you here tonight, and we thank you for what you've done in our lives. We thank you that we got to get up today, as Pastor Charles said this morning. Father, we want to touch heaven. We want to touch heaven tonight. We give you permission to shock us with your goodness, to shock us with your power. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, one more time. Why don't we give God one more clap? Why don't you punch your neighbor before you sit down? And then pray for healing. Thanks, worship team. I'll get you guys back up shortly. Didn't the worship team do such a great job? If you're new here, this is kind of the exciting service. It's where all the exciting people come. The people with faith come to the 5 p.m. If you don't like excitement and passion, you can try one of the morning services. But if you like this, come to the fire. It's actually just turned down a hair in the morning. But it's great. It's great to be here tonight. I'm always excited to preach to you guys. They only put me on the 5 these days. I don't know. Maybe I've become a 5 p.m. only person. But I'm actually cool with that. I'm cool with that. So we are in our Truth Wars series, and it's been great, huh? How many people were here this morning here, Pastor Leanne? Quite a few of us were here. We got some instructions on how to deal with a crazy world, because the truth is crazy. The truth these days is interesting. The definition of truth is a fact or a belief that is accepted as true. A fact is something that we believe to be true. So fact and truth are very similar. And from these truths that we perceive as being true or factual, we actually, as a society and as a community, we create laws that are attached to these truths. As you know, a law is a system of regulations that regulate a society, and if a law is broken, you get punished. Laws are made because of the truths that we all agree on. For example, murder is something that we all unanimously would agree is bad, correct? Yeah. You better say yes.
murder is bad. And so as a society, as a community, we believe that to be true. We believe that to be a fact. And so we've made laws around the fact that murder is bad. And so if you murder somebody, you will be put in jail for life, or you will get the gas chamber or something like that. My wife was a probation officer. She used to put people away for multiple life sentences. PC 187, she said. I don't know how you can be put away for multiple life sentences, but that's what she used to do. She used to deal with the worst criminals there is, murderers, rapists, all kinds of people. She would put them away for multiple life sentences because as a society, we agreed that that is a bad thing to do. So don't mess with my wife. But she is also very cute and very sweet as well as hardcore. You got to be to deal with those people, man. We as a society and as a group of people, we believe that auto theft is bad. So if you steal a car, you will be put in jail, which is a good thing because I just got a new car and it's kind of fly, so I don't want it to be stolen. So we believe that as a society that stealing a car is, in fact, a bad thing, and so we've made a law around that. The problem comes in our country and in our society is because we don't believe in an absolute truth. We just believe in truth. And because you don't believe in the absolute truth, which is the word of God, which is how we are governed, which is how we live, we believe in an absolute truth, but society as a whole does not believe in an absolute truth. And so truth now becomes relative to what you think, or what you believe to be true is what the definition says. So whatever you believe to be true now becomes a truth, or whatever a small people group believes to be true now becomes a truth. And that jacks everybody up. It confuses people, and it causes us to change laws that shouldn't be changed to further confuse society. It's crazy. For example, the absolute truth, the word of God, says that there is two genders, male and female. Male and female, it sounds obvious. But we've confused the truth because we don't believe in an absolute truth. We just believe in truth, and truth is relative to you or him or a small group of people. And so now we've gone from two genders to 72 plus genders. And now we're very confused because there's so many different truths out there. Now we're changing laws, causing school districts to spend tens of millions of dollars to put in other bathrooms to accommodate these people. The 0.0001% of the world, instead of spending that money maybe on counseling these people and helping these people, we're putting in new bathrooms. Because the truth is relative to people and what they think, not an absolute truth, because we want to deny an absolute truth. We want to deny the Bible. We want to move away from the Bible. And so now we're confused. There was about a month ago, I was listening to the radio, the news on Fox, and they were talking about this woman who was a professor in a college back east somewhere, and she was teaching about how it's okay to identify as an animal. And she herself was identifying as a hippopotamus. I didn't make it up. How does that happen? How does that happen? It happens because people don't believe in an absolute truth, and truth is just relative, and so it gets dumbed down, so whatever we believe to be true becomes true. And so now we're changing laws. Before 1973, the truth that was widely accepted was that life started at conception. But then in 1973, seven people voted to change the law because they didn't believe in the absolute truth, because the Bible says that life starts at conception. But because they didn't believe in it, they took it upon themselves to create their own truth. And seven people changed an entire nation's laws, saying that now abortion is legal up until, in most cases, the third trimester. And so now that's the widely accepted truth. And we've changed the laws to accommodate that truth. And because of that decision, there's been over 50 million pregnancies terminated since 1973. In other words, there should be 50 million more people alive in our nation today. But because We don't believe in an absolute truth because that's weird, it's outdated, the Bible's old, all that kind of stuff. We've gone down this road that is very, very scary. And so the truth has become strange. So now if we get enough people in a people group that believe a certain truth, we can actually work to change laws for everybody. It's very strange, the society that we live in. Now, the laws of nature, physics, thermodynamics, those sorts of things is much different. It's hard to disprove a law of nature. A law of nature is a statement of fact deduced from observation to the effect that a particular natural or scientific phenomenon always occurs even in certain if certain conditions are present. So we can change the laws that govern our society, but it's very hard to change the laws of nature. It would be very hard for a small people group to get together and start to prove that gravity doesn't exist. Because if they did that, we could all just push them off the cliff and see what happens. But knowing how things are going, I wouldn't doubt it, man. But it's hard to disprove gravity, which says there is a force in the universe that will pull you towards the middle of the earth. Inertia is another kind of law of nature that says that an object that starts in motion will continue in motion unless there is outside forces against it. It's very hard to kind of disprove that sort of thing. Entropy is in thermodynamics says that everything in the universe goes from order to disorder. Order to disorder, and that's the measurement, is entropy. It's very hard to disprove entropy. Newton's third law of motion says that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So, for example, most of you are sitting in a chair, and you are providing a force that's going down onto the chair, and the chair is providing a force that's coming up, keeping you still. A fish will swim in the water. I'm going somewhere, so stay with me. A fish will swim in water, and he will go like that with his fins, and the fins will put pressure on the water, and the water will put pressure on the fins, launching this fish forward. So for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. There is something called time that we all exist in. It'd be very hard to disprove time because you see the sun come up and the sun go down, the moon go up, the moon come down, unless you live in Alaska, and sometimes you don't see that. But it's very hard to disprove time. We all kind of just live in it, and it'd be very hard to disprove that. So you can't really argue the laws of nature, really. The kingdom exists both in nature, in natural law, in the laws of nature, and outside of the laws of nature. That's where the kingdom exists. So we don't necessarily just exist inside of the laws of this land. It exists inside and also outside. The kingdom does, however, exist inside the absolute truth of the Bible, which often confounds science, although science is catching up to the Bible, slowly but surely. But the kingdom isn't confined to the laws of nature. We can exist outside. God created time, but he doesn't exist inside of time. He exists outside of time. God created the whole universe, but he's not subject to it. He created the laws of nature, but he lives above it. The title of my message tonight is Above the Law. We are called to live above the law. We as kingdom people aren't subject to the law. We live in the law. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven is within you, so we live within the natural laws, but we also live outside, and we have the opportunity to live outside into the miraculous realm, into the supernatural realm. We don't have to stay and be contained by natural. We can actually elevate ourselves above the law, above the law. And so the creator, if you picture this, a creator is always in authority over that which he or she creates. And so if you create something, you have authority over it. Unless you choose to give that thing authority or power yourself. If I created a robot, I would know the intricacies of this robot. I would know how it works. I would know if it makes sounds. I would know if it whistles. I would know if it does things with its arms. I would know if it shoots. I would know all of these things. I would control it because I know about it, because I created it and I have authority over it. I have a remote control. I would know how to use it. I would have authority over this robot unless I gave that robot authority myself. It's my choice because I was the creator of this thing. I created a company, a digital marketing website development company with my friend Brad, and so now I have authority over it. I can decide whether I want to be open or closed. I can decide who to hire and who to fire. I can decide if I want to work with you or you or you, because I created the company. So I now have authority over it. God was never created. He always was. He was, he is, and he is to come. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He was never created, but yet he created everything. How does that work? I don't know. Every Christian will ask that question when we get to heaven. But he just always has been. He always has been. No one created God. And so he is the ultimate authority because he created everything. The beautiful thing about being the ultimate creator and the ultimate authority with all the power is you can choose to give it away if you want to. So because God always was and he created everything, there is no authority or power over him. He sits above the law. He sits in an elevated place. He doesn't have to be subject to that stuff that he created unless he wants to. He doesn't have to give away any power, any authority unless he chooses to. Now, good thing for us, he chose to. He chose to give you and I power. He chose to give you and I authority over all the works of his hands. He chose to give us the ability to live above the law, outside of what's natural, outside of what's normal. He chose to give us that power and that authority. In Psalms 8, verse 4 to 6 in the Amplified, it says this: "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of earthborn man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things," say all things, "under his feet." You have put all things under his feet. What this verse is saying will blow your mind, because what it's saying is God, the one that was never created but that created everything, has now put you and I in charge, in authority over everything that he created. Did you know angels were created beings? Angels were created beings, and God has set us over. The Bible says that we're actually going to judge angels one day. Why is that important? It's not important for us to take authority over angels. Angels are on our side. Angels are on our team. I pray every day that angels that have been assigned to my family would protect us, would minister to us, would help us. I pray for the same around this church. I pray for the same around my kids. I pray for angels, because angels are bad people in a good way. Whenever they appear in the Bible, it's like, do not fear, because, you know, they're all yoked up and stuff. So angels are created beings. Do you know what demons are? Demons are fallen angels. The devil, Satan, is a fallen angel, which means you have authority over him because he is a created being. You are God's highest creation. You are God's highest creation, not the devil. Not the devil. You have been given authority. You have been given authority. Jesus reiterates this in Luke 10:19. "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions," demons, "and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing by shall any means hurt you." Matthew 28:18 says, "And Jesus came, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." So Jesus is saying, I've given you authority over all the powers of the enemy, reiterating Psalms. And then he says, all authority has been given to me. Now go in my name and make disciples. Go in my name. Stay under my authority. Therefore, you're going to have authority. So go now and make disciples and demonstrate the power of God. Then he says, not only does he give you authority, but in Acts 1:8, it says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So not only now do you have authority over all the works of his hands, as he put everything underneath your feet, but now you have ability, now you have power to accomplish the assignment that God has given us. You not only have authority, you now have ability. You now have power to carry out what God has called you to carry out. This is exciting, because if we start to realize what we have and what we are called to do, we will start to live above the law ourselves. We will start to live outside of things that would confound the world. They don't understand what's in the absolute truth, which is where we function. They function in the truths of this world. We function in the absolute truths of the Bible, which is supernatural, where all things become possible, where the impossible becomes possible because you're with him and because you recognize the power that you've been given. You recognize the authority that is on you. It's a very exciting, exciting life. I mean, how can you explain Peter walking on water? That just doesn't make any sense. Gravity would tell you that as soon as he stepped out of the boat, he would be sucked down underwater towards the middle of the earth. But because we live above the law, because Jesus lives above the law, he doesn't fall, but he stands up. Matthew 14, 28 to 31 says, and Peter answered Jesus, because, you know, remember, Jesus is walking out on the water, and then there's the boat with the disciples. And the Lord, and Peter says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And so Jesus said, come. That is the word of God. That is the will of God. Come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? So Peter steps out of the boat based on a word from God, because the word will hold you up in a scenario where the gravity wants to pull you down. So Jesus says, come. Peter walks on water, but the word holds him up. When the world is trying to drag you down, when the world is trying to pull you under, the word of God is that which you can stand on that will keep you up. So Peter steps out of the boat onto the word of God that is holding him up. He's on the water, but the word is what's holding him up. And then the Bible says that as soon as he stopped believing, as soon as he started doubting, he began to fall, and he has to scream out to Jesus, save me, Jesus reaches down immediately and saves him. So the word of God will hold you up. The word of God will cause you to live above the law, but as soon as you stop believing, the word of God will stop working. As soon as Peter stopped believing, he started to sink. And he had to cry out again to Jesus, and Jesus was gracious. And then they started walking again, and they got into the boat. So they walked back up into the boat. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. But as soon as we stop believing the word, the Bible says, whatever you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. Whatever. As long as it exists inside the absolute truth of the Bible and within his will, you can have it. There's another story in the Bible where Jesus is with his disciples. He's in a boat again. There's a storm again. And Jesus is in the cabin taking a nap. I believe he's taking a nap because he knows as soon as he ascends to heaven, he's going to be awake forever. So he's like, I want to try out this nap thing. I'm going to take a rest. And so he's sleeping while there's a storm going on. And the disciples come to him and they wake him up and they say, Jesus, Jesus, wake up or we're going to perish. So Jesus gets up and he speaks to the wind and the waves and he says, peace, be still. Because he was never created, and because he created everything and he has authority over everything, even nature has to respond to his word. Which means even nature has to respond to your word. If you believe. But if you stop believing, you're going to sink. Everything we access in the kingdom is by faith. It's by faith. It's by faith. Peter stepped out of the boat by faith, and the word of God held him up. So we got to keep believing. We got to keep believing if we want to live over the elements. Because the weather system said storm, but Jesus said peace. And peace came. The third law of motion, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Kind of sounds like sowing and reaping, Pastor Becky. That's what it kind of sounds like to me. It kind of sounds like sowing and reaping. Now, sowing and reaping exists inside the natural laws or inside the laws of nature. It works inside the kingdom and it works outside the kingdom. Sowing and reaping does. And it can be good or bad. If you sow generosity, people are going to be generous back to you. If you sow judgment, people are going to judge you. If you sow bitterness, guess what? Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. If you sow healing, guess what? Healing is going to come back into you. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. But it works inside and outside. But if we're kingdom people, we should be able to live at a level that other people can't live in. We should be able to live above the law. There should be a next level, another level for us than the world, because we are sons and daughters of God who have been given authority by God, the creator, the all-sufficient one, the never created one. He's just always been. He's given us all authority over even the laws of nature. If you read in 2 Corinthians 9:10, we start to realize that there is another level in the kingdom. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed that you've sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, or increase the success of your right living. And so right here, we see that there is another level in the kingdom. Jesus is talking to people, Paul is talking to people that are giving into the church, giving into the kingdom of God. And he says that God, who supplies seed to the sower. So if you are a sower, God is going to find a way to get you some seed. But then he's going to multiply the seed that you sow so that you're reaping back more than what you've sown. That's another level that the kingdom that exists in the kingdom. But I love it because it says what you have sown, not what you're praying to sow, not what you're believing to sow one day. You got to start sowing right now if you want that seed to start being multiplied for you. Because if you can't sow now, you're not going to sow then. Have sown. But there's another level in the kingdom. It's not just that God can multiply the seed that you've sown. It's not just that you can sow and reap, which happens in the kingdom and outside of the kingdom. But there's another level that you don't even have to sow for. Matthew 6, 25 and 27 says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns or save. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one more cubit to his stature? So now we see that there's even another level in the kingdom that defies the laws of nature, that causes us to live above, and it is a law that says you don't even have to sow to reap because God loves you. You may not have had an opportunity to sow yet, but guess what? God loves you. He can still get breakthrough into your life just because you are valuable to him. So valuable that he sent his only son to die on a cross. Value is determined by what someone's willing to pay for, and Jesus paid everything for you. Everything. So there's another level. I'm not saying don't sow. I'm just saying if you need breakthrough, God can still deliver because he loves you. Let me just tell you, he is a good father. I feel like I'm an okay father. I got 3 kids. But let me tell you something. I don't care if my kids sow. Every now and then, I'm going to bless them. Because I love them, I'm just going to give them stuff. I'm just going to bless them. I'm just going to set them up. Why? Because I love them. I love them. Birds of the air neither sow nor reap, but God still takes care of them. Why? Because he loves them. Jesus, he was sitting in front of 15,000 people, 5,000 men, women, and children, with 2 fish and 5 loaves. And then he feeds all of the people. Multiplication happens. Multiplication happens, which confounds science. How does that happen? That is above the law. That is above the truth of this world, but it's within this truth. It's within the truth of the Bible. So he feeds 15,000 people, not because he sowed fish and sowed loaves, but because he cared about the people. He stepped into a new realm. It's called the miraculous realm. And he supplies for 15,000 people, not because he sowed, but because he's God. The same power that dwelt in Jesus dwells in you. His name is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. So that means the same things Jesus did, you can do. Incredible. He was walking down the street with Peter, and they needed to pay taxes. And he goes, Peter said, hey, Lord, do we pay taxes? He's like, yeah, let's pay so we don't offend anybody. So he goes, hey, Peter, go down to the fish, catch a fish. The first fish that you catch, he's going to open his mouth. There's going to be a coin in there. Pay taxes for me and you. What law of nature, of physics, of thermodynamics does that fit into? That doesn't, Jesus didn't sow fish with coins in their mouth to receive that. He just stepped into a brand new realm called the miraculous. There's another level. There's another level, Kwacha. Freak, there's another level. How does somebody get healed? How does that happen? How can I lay my hands on somebody and healing come into their body? How can cancer get disintegrated by a human hand? It doesn't make sense. It's above the law. It's outside of the truths of this world, but it's within the absolute truths of the scripture. I think the band's coming, but you guys can join me. Acts 10:38 says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The reason the miraculous could happen is because God anoints us with the Holy Spirit and with power. And our job is to do what Jesus did, which is to go around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That doesn't make sense in this world. How do you heal somebody without surgery, without a lot of rest, without medicine? How does somebody get healed in this world? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense, but it's called the power of God. The Bible says that we were healed by his stripes. It's already happened. It's a fact that's within the truths of the Bible. It's an absolute truth given to you and I by the absolute authority, Jesus Christ. He healed all. Mark 16 says that believers, which is us, it's what Christians, we're believers, can lay hands on the sick and see him recover. It says that believers can cast out devils. Why? Because we have authority over them. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to live above. We're called to live not in the natural, but in the supernatural. A few years ago, there was this young boy. He was 6 years old, and him and his parents came up to me after a service, and his parents were very emotional because their son was having issues. He couldn't breathe very good. His lungs were stopped up, and it's been that way for a while. Doctors weren't helping at all, and he would sleep at night, and he would choke during the night, so he couldn't sleep, and his parents were very worried that he would suffocate while he was sleeping and potentially, you know, pass. And so they brought him up, and they told me the story, and it didn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense that I could lay a human hand on a little boy and that healing could go into his body. I didn't use any medicine. I didn't even call a doctor. But all I did was say a 20-second prayer. I said, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. I command those lungs to open. And then he left. A week later, he came back up with his parents, and his parents were crying, and they came up to me, and they said, son, tell him what happened. And he told me that he had been able to sleep all week and that he wasn't choking in the night and that his lungs had been cleared up and that everything feels better and that he was healed, and his parents were crying because they knew that the power of the Most High God had reached his hand down and touched that little boy. How amazing is God? He's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. And you guys know my story. I got healed of kidney failure. I've seen cancer healed. I've seen autoimmune diseases healed. I've seen scoliosis come straight before my eyes, verified by a chiropractor right in front of me. I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle, and it has nothing to do with me, but everything to do with him who's given you and I all authority and all power to live a life that is above the law. I was preaching a message not too long ago, and there was this woman. I was talking about demonic oppression. I was talking about fear, depression, anxiety, bitterness, addiction, all the things that kind of oppress us. And I was sharing how people just think that that's how they were born. People just think that that's how they are. That's their normal. What I was telling them, well, there's a new normal. And it's above where you've been. And so I started to talk about the new normal and what God wanted to do in their life that night, that day. And this woman came up to me afterwards, and she started to tell me her story. And she said, as you were talking about fear, I started to hear this voice in my head. And I started to get a headache. And the voice was saying, do not go up there or else I will make it worse for you tomorrow. Praise God that this woman didn't listen to that voice, but did she listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit? And she came forward that day. And with a 20-second prayer, the spirit of fear that had been oppressing her for years lifted in a moment by the authority given to you and I by the power of Jesus Christ. Because he was never created, he has all authority to give to you and to give to me. And tonight he is saying, sons and daughters, you have been given authority over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing by shall any means hurt you. Nothing. There is no opposite and equal reaction to the action of God. It's outside of the Newton's third law of motion, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So when my God chooses to move and invade in your life, there is no opposite and equal reaction that can come against you. There is only one God and one power, and when he moves on your life, I'm telling you, freedom and breakthrough is gonna come into your life. We are called to live above the law, never below. You are called to be the head, not the tail. Above only, not beneath. But everything comes by faith. Everything comes by faith. It's incredible to think. Like Psalms 8 said, that God has created us as his highest creation. We should start living like it. Why live a life we can do by ourselves when we have a God that wants to be involved, a God that wants to bless, a God that wants to encourage, a God that wants to heal, a God that wants you to get breakthrough? Tonight is your night. Tonight is your night. Bow your heads, close your eyes just for a moment. There might be people here tonight that have never invited Christ into their life. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Tonight is your night. Do something bold. Do something bold. Kickstart your world. Start to live above the law, not subject to it. If that's you here tonight and you've never given your life, you've never said, Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, come into my life. Or maybe you're not sure what would happen if you passed tonight. Would you go to heaven or not? You don't know. Tonight you have an opportunity to confirm that decision and spend eternity in heaven. So if that's you tonight, right where you are with every eye closed, I want you to just lift your hand right where you are so that I can pray for you. Who are those ones? God bless you, sir. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? God bless you. I see that hand over there. Once I see your hand, you can put it down. Is there anybody else? God bless you guys. God bless you. God bless you. I see you in the middle. Is there a couple of more people? Live stream, I'm talking to you. If you're away from God, if you're away from God, I want you to come back tonight. Is there anybody else? God bless you, young lady. I see that hand to my right. Amen. Amen. Why don't you all look up at me? There was about 10 of you probably that raised your hand, and I would love to pray with you. So I'm going to ask you to do something even bolder. I'm going to ask you, as the whole congregation would stand up, would you just do me the great honor and let me pray for you in person right down here at the altar? Can you just come down? Bring your friends. Bring your family. I want to pray for you.
Darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus.
Why don't we give these awesome people a hand? Sometimes it's hard to walk down here. Those of you that are leaving are going to miss some fireworks, I'm just telling you, just saying. But I'm so proud of you guys for coming down here. And this is the first step in a miraculous life, literally.
Everything can change in a 20-second prayer. So I'm going to pray a prayer I'd love for you guys to repeat after me. And Jesus, the God of heaven, the creator of all things, is going to come into your world. Just say this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on a cross for my sins. Lord Jesus, tonight, I invite you into my life. I invite you into my heart. And I declare that I am saved, that heaven is my home, and that God is my Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.